Just a few years ago, we were on vacation with my wife Erica's family down in the sun and down in the warmth during a long, cold winter. And we had a great week together. Most of the places that we went over the course of the week together, we walked. It was usually very beautiful out. We were on vacations. We were never in a hurry, always happy to be outdoors, enjoying the beautiful views and just experiencing everything that was around us. And so we had no problem at all to walk just about everywhere we went. And that usually worked out just fine until it was about dinner time. My father-in-law typically would pick the place where we would go out to eat. And when we were deciding, well, should we walk or, you know, tonight, should we get a taxi? He always assured us, no, this place, I really want to go to this place here tonight. It's only about a 15-minute walk. It's only about 15, 20 minutes away. So we thought, okay, well, that's really sounds about fine. But we soon learned by the end of the week that when he said 15, 20 minutes, we should really probably plan for more like 30 to 45 minutes per walk, right? So inevitably, you know, we'd be tired and we'd be stuffed and we'd be walking home in the pitch dark, always asking ourselves, wondering like, are we home yet? Are we there yet? Every single night, it seemed that we had discovered that his time or his distance measurement during the week was usually just a bit off. And I think this is actually pretty common for most of us. So we usually lean toward whatever measurement is you know most favorable or kind of more acceptable by the group or whatever measurement makes us look a lot better. I know I'm guilty of that, you know, making whatever we're measuring kind of work in our favor. I love to fish. And whenever someone asks me how big a fish that it was that I just caught, any good fisherman knows that you get to round up a little bit, right? Even my son, 5 years old, he's almost six, even he's learning this. Someone asks him, you know, hey, how big was the fish? And he knows, you go, oh, it was about, you get to round up. You go, oh, it was about this big, right? You can just say, oh, it was about 18, 20 inches, somewhere 18, 24, which is usually code for, it was actually like 14 or 15 inches, but you successfully convinced people that it was really, you know, more like 20 and maybe even more. Okay, the same kind of, you know, measurement issues would even happen to me when I played basketball in high school. I was about 6'1", then maybe 185 pounds. And on game day, I'd look at the program that they passed out to the fans in the seats. And there I'd be listed on the roster. Sten Carlson, sophomore, power forward, 6'4", 200 pounds. I'm like, 6'4", what, how? Okay, now here's why I tell you all these random stories of mismeasurement, because over time, as I've grown older, as I start to experience more things in life, here is what I realized. Humans are bad at measuring things. We are. Humans are very bad at measuring things. That is my opinion, at least, right? When we're on our way to a meeting, we text, be there in 5, that usually means 15, right? When we give directions, say it's about a mile and a half, that usually means it's gonna be about 2. You know, cooking, that's where I'm the worst. I have to use measuring cups. My wife, Erica, she just eyeballs it. She's like, yeah, a little here, a little there. And when she tells me to do the same thing, she's like, hey, just add a half a cup. I start putting in what I think is a half a cup. And she's like, whoa, that's way too much. I'm like, well, I didn't know. I didn't have the measure. Measuring cups, you know, to get the right amount in. Humans are usually pretty bad at measuring things. Now, all of this is pretty harmless when we're just talking about a few extra minutes. We're talking about a few extra inches, or it's pretty harmless when we're talking, you know, about just a few, you know, extra dashes of flour or sugar here and there. It's usually pretty harmless. But what about some of the areas of our life where measuring is really actually quite important? What about some of the areas of our lives where measuring success or measuring growth or measuring change is actually really quite important? What about some of those areas? See, I think these areas, that kind of stuff is worth our time and it's worth our attention. It's worth taking time to get right. In fact, just this past month, as you heard Haley even refer to, we began a conversation with our staff about how we measure the effectiveness of our organization. Right? How do we know when we're doing what it is that we set out to do? Any organization, any good organization needs to know what it is it's aiming at and then how to measure really any progress along the way. And so this really got me thinking. Got me thinking that you and I as individuals, right? We really need to know the very same thing. And specifically for those of us who would call ourselves Jesus followers, right? It raises a very good question. And that question is this: how do we measure our spiritual lives? Right? How do we measure our progress or how do we measure growth or how do we measure the change that's happening inside of us? How do we actually know that we're really heading in the right direction? I've referenced a few times over the past few weeks that specifically we as Christians, I've mentioned that we're in the process of transformation, right? Hoping to be just a little bit better today than we were yesterday. And so the question really is that I started thinking about for us, the question is, how do we know? How do we really know? How do we measure that kind of process? How do we measure that kind of change? How do we measure that kind of growth? How do we measure something invisible and intangible inside of us and inside of our hearts? How do we measure it? How do we know we're actually making the progress that we want to make? That's what I want to talk a little bit about today, as we're right in the middle of one message series ending and another beginning. I just want to talk about this today. How do we know? How do we measure this kind of thing happening inside of us? The truth is, there's not a scale. There's not a score. There's no written test that measures our spiritual growth, that measures the change that's happening inside of us. It's actually something quite different. And this morning, I want to share with you what it is. And to do that, I actually want to begin talking a little bit more about what it's not. At least I want to talk about that here as we begin. So to do that, I want to turn to the New Testament book of Matthew. Matthew wrote about and he recorded all of the things that happened surrounding the life and in the ministry of Jesus. And in the first few pages of the letter that bears his name, he actually began writing about the man known as John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was sent ahead of Jesus, sent to kind of prepare the way for Jesus. And John had an encounter with a group of the religious elites, right? The religious top dogs from his day, and they were known as the Pharisees. And these guys thought that they were pretty darn special. But as we'll discover in a moment, when it came to their true spiritual fitness, when it came to their true spiritual lives, they had major mismeasurement issues. And John serves up a pretty fierce warning because of it. And so I don't want us to make the same mistakes. I don't want us to make the same, miscalculations. And so if you want to learn what not to do, how not to measure your own spiritual health and your own spiritual growth and the change that's happening inside of you, then look with me at Matthew chapter 3. Again, John has been sent ahead of Jesus to preach and to prepare people for his coming. And now we're going to drop in here on verse 5, and I'm going to read from the Message translation, which I think gives us a really helpful understanding today of what was really happening, what was going on back then. Here's what it says. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian countryside to hear and to see him. This is John in action. And there at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. Okay, baptism would soon be done in response to Jesus, right? Those who kind of raised their hands and said yes to Jesus would be baptized. But before Jesus showed up on the scene, it was oftentimes done in preparation for Jesus. It was kind of one of the markers of someone's spiritual growth, or it's kind of one of the ways that you could really measure someone's readiness for Jesus to arrive. And so these Pharisees who I just mentioned, they take notice of all these baptisms happening in preparation for Jesus. They take notice. Let's keep reading here. It says, when John realized that a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. "You brood of snakes," he calls them. Okay. Now, I personally, here at MidCurrent, I've chosen not to respond to people this way who come forward for baptism. Okay. Doesn't feel all that appropriate to me, but this is John's response to them there in the moment, right? Seemingly something has him pretty worked up, okay? He goes on. He says, "What do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snakeskins is gonna make any difference?" He's calling them out. He's challenging them, like, hey, why are you really here? Like, what are you doing? Are you here just because it's kind of the popular religious thing to do? Are you here just to kind of do the right thing, to check the right box, to do whatever you need to do to make sure that you know you kind of look good and that you look the part? Or are you here to actually signal a change in the life that you are living? He's calling them out big time. He wants to know, are you here to actually signify you're ready to make a change, to turn directions? See, John was baptizing people who recognized, hey, you know what? I need to change in preparation for this guy, Jesus, who is coming on the scene. But he wants these Pharisees to understand what kind of change is actually required. He wants them, and I think he wants us to understand what is actually required. How it is that you measure this kind of change? Here's what he goes on to say to these Pharisees. He says, it's your life. It's your life that must change, not your skin. Right? He's saying, hey, real spiritual readiness and real spiritual change and real spiritual growth and preparation in you. It's not about an appearance. Okay, it's not about just a spiritual activity. It's not, baptism is the thing that to do right now. Baptism is the thing that everybody's doing right now. Okay, sure, I'm in. I should be a part of that. It's not about an activity. And he also wants to be clear that it's not about association. Okay, real spiritual growth and progress, it's not about a spiritual activity, and it's not about a spiritual association. Look at how he concludes this little rant. He says, and don't think that you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham, he says, is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts, he says, is your life. Listen to the questions he suggests to them. He says, what counts is your life. Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's dead wood, the more literal translation says, if it does not produce good fruit, if it's dead wood, it goes into the fire. Okay, now these bold words from John should get our attention and should alert us to the fact that, man, something else is going on here. I mean, it would appear, you would think that the Pharisees coming to be baptized, you'd think, well, isn't that a good thing? Okay, but apparently John doesn't see it that way, because I think he sees past the outer appearance of it all. I think he sees the reality that the Pharisees were really only interested in the public nature of the whole thing and not the actual private life change that baptism and that preparation for Jesus required, right? He's not seeing any evidence of or any interest in a life change, in direction change, or in heart change from these guys. He just sees a group of people that are concerned about their kind of religious reputation and making sure that they are checking the right boxes. Hey, well, if everybody's doing this, certainly we should be the ones at the front of the line. They don't get it. And so here lies the mistake that I don't want any of us to make, right? Here lies their mistake, and the one that I don't want for any of us either. They're using the wrong measuring stick. Okay, they were convinced that religious activity, right? The right appearance that went with it. They were convinced that the religious activity and religious association, right? Having the right family tree. They were convinced that that equaled real spiritual maturity, right? Spiritual activity and spiritual association. They're going, hey, well, we're descendants of Abraham. You know, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. Yeah, that's us. We're with him. They're thinking, hey, we're good. We're good. But what they were guilty of is mismeasuring. Mismeasuring spiritual life and spiritual growth and real change, right? They were using the wrong measuring sticks. And sometimes, friends, sometimes we do the same thing. Yeah, I'm from a Christian family. My family. Hey, we're very spiritual, very religious. We do all the we're spiritual things. We talk all the right spiritual talk. If it looks and sounds really spiritually mature, then count me in. I'm all over that. But here's what I want all of us to know today. This is what I've been getting at: religious activity and religious association doesn't necessarily equal spiritual health, spiritual growth, spiritual progress, change happening inside of us. Religious activity and religious association doesn't necessarily equal spiritual growth, okay? I am not saying, please hear me correctly, I'm not saying that it's all inherently bad, okay? But the hard truth is it can blind us to what's really important, right? The more we focus on just kind of looking the part and checking the box, it can blind us to some areas of our life where we really could stand to take some step forward in faith or in maturity. And I think this is what John is getting at when he's saying, hey, prove by the way that you live your life that you have made a change. Demonstrate your spiritual growth. Demonstrate the change that is happening inside of you by a life that is green and by a life that is flourishing and producing good fruit. And so, friends, what I want to suggest to you today is this. The best way to measure spiritual growth on the inside, because that's what we're measuring, right? I think, and I hope that's what all of us want to know. How do I know? How do I know that change and growth and progress is happening inside of me? The best way to measure spiritual growth on the inside is to measure the spiritual fruit that is on the outside. Okay? The best way to measure the spiritual growth happening on the inside of us is to measure the spiritual fruit that is growing on the outside. If there is no fruit being produced on the outside, then maybe the chances are that there's not as much growth or not as much substance or not as much depth on the inside. That's how we know if we're healthy and if we're growing, we're progressing and maturing. We measure the real fruit on the outside, fruit that is evident in the way that we live our lives every day. I'm not sure that it ever was, right? But the measuring stick, it is no longer simply the religious things that we do or say or how impressive our spiritual life or reputation appears to be. It's the fruit that's evident in the life that we live every day. Okay? Now, on one hand, this makes things, quite plain and quite clear. No spiritual fruit, no real spiritual life that is growing and flourishing. Okay? But I'm willing to bet, I don't know for sure, but I'm willing to bet that some of you are thinking, hey, Sten, I'm all about that. I'm all about a fruit-producing life. I'm all about what you're talking about. But unless you're talking about growing apples out of my armpits, I don't really know what that means. And so if that's you, right, stick with me here today, because now I want to pivot from talking, about what not to measure, so that we can actually start to talk about what to measure in our lives, if this is something that we are curious about, okay? Not only does the Bible make it clear that we measure spiritual life by spiritual fruit, as John is describing here, but the Bible also makes it very clear what that fruit is, what exactly it is that should be evident in our lives every day. And so what I want you to do is look with me at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Paul, he's the great church leader and the great church planter even in the first century. He writes about what is commonly referred to as the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's fruit. that is produced in our lives when we are in step with God's Spirit that dwells inside of us. And here's what he writes. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, John says that it's a life that that it's a life that's not green, that's not flourishing, that's not producing fruit, that's thrown into the fire. And then sometime later, Paul says, this is the fruit. But this is the kind of fruit that the Holy Spirit produces inside of us. And so Midcurrent, I want to suggest to you that this is actually, this should be for us, for you and for me, the measuring stick. This is the new barometer. This is the new scorecard in a way for our lives as individuals. The question is no longer, it's not that it ever really was, but the question is not really, you know, how many religious things do I do, or how impressive is my religious vocabulary, or how many, you know, important Christians people do I associate with, or anything else that's just about the appearance. The question really is, how much love do I demonstrate for my neighbor? Maybe for my neighbor who didn't vote like I did. What kind of joy do I experience in my life when my life is really the most difficult? How patient am I when God always seems to be running late? How much self-control do I exhibit in my life with my own temper or my own language or my own drinking or my own scrolling or go on down the line? If I'm honest with you, I'm glad that I committed my life to Jesus at a very young age years ago. I was a little guy when I did. If I'm honest with you, I'm glad that I did that so many years ago, because I think, I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit too much here, but I think it would have been a lot harder. I think I would have had a lot harder time doing so as an adult in the Christian world today. Because the truth is, and when I look at churches, and I'm not talking about Midcurrent right now, okay? I'm just talking about churches in general, right? I think I'd have a hard time in the Christian world today, because churches, it seems to me, if I just look very broadly, it seems to me that churches today are packed full of sad, greedy, unkind, impatient, anxious, discontent, undisciplined, unhappy Christians. Right, we looked apart. You know, we talked the talk. We got all the stuff on the outside, right? But we're frustrated, and we're anxious, and we're unhappy people. And so sometimes I don't necessarily blame the unbelieving world for looking at Christians today and thinking, I'm good. I'm not really sure that I'm missing out on much. And the sad part about it is that I think sometimes we're completely oblivious, totally unaware of this, right? Because we've been using the wrong measuring stick for far too long, and we always seem to be kind of satisfied with the results. I've checked all these boxes, right? I've got all this, stuff taken care of. We're using the wrong measuring sticks, and we always seem to be satisfied with the results. Friends, what I want to suggest to you today, that it's time for those of us who are recipients of the greatest news and the most amazing grace on this planet to start measuring our spiritual lives in a whole new way, right? To start measuring our spiritual lives and our growth and our change by the fruit in our lives, not by the spiritual activity of our lives. Okay, reminds me of a little bit of leadership advice that I got when I was a young leader. Activity does not equal productivity. Okay, now please don't misunderstand me once again. I'm not saying that all spiritual activity is, bad and should be stopped immediately. Okay, I'm not saying forget about coming to church. I'm not saying, hey, don't worry about this, this baptism thing. I'm not saying drop out of your small group, ditch your Christian friends, quit going, to your Bible study, because that's not what matters. I'm not saying that. In fact, we're trying to jumpstart, and we're trying to supercharge all of that stuff for this place in the coming months, in the coming years. We want all of that stuff for you, but not for the sake of the stuff itself, right? But for the sake of what it will hopefully produce in you, where it's going to lead you and what it's going to develop in you and what fruit is hopefully going to begin to become more and more evident in your life day in and day out as we become the people that God intended for us to be. Mid-Current, the truth is, from the moment that we enter this world, the measuring begins. Okay? Well, in fact, within the first few seconds of the very first breath we take, we're placed right alongside a ruler, and we're set on a scale. And our height and our weight is measured, and it's recorded right there in the delivery room, and it never stops. The measuring begins the moment we come into this world, and it never stops. Height, weight, then looks, and then grades, and then stats, and then degrees, and then incomes, and then titles, and job descriptions, and wins and losses, and lifestyles, and groups, and clubs, and friends, and associations, and reputations, and appearances, and the list goes on and on and on. Mid-Current, what if we were the ones who stopped playing this game, right? What if we were the ones who flipped the script and swapped the measuring sticks? And what if the only thing that we really worried about measuring in our lives was the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the goodness and the self-control that we displayed each and every day, everywhere we went, with each person that we encounter? Not only would it be good for our own spiritual growth, but I think it would turn some heads. And I think it would even soften some hearts of those people around us. What if this was all the norm? I mean, the day in and day out, what if this was the norm for Jesus followers, right? Our hyper focus on the fruit that is produced in our life every day. What if this was the norm rather than kind of an uncommon yet pleasant and an appealing surprise when we encounter it? Well, aren't they, you know, they're so great. What if this was the norm for us? See, I would love to live in a world where more of us were committed to this kind of growth, to this kind of progress that was measured according to this kind of fruit, rather than just a list of the spiritual things that we do and say and the people that we associate with. So let's be Mid-Current, let's be a church. Let's be people that are committed to growth on the inside that is only measured by the fruit that is produced and by the fruit that it is existing and the fruit that people see on the outside of our lives, day in and day out. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, who came into this world and who made a way for us to move forward when there really was no way forward. And God, our hope in response to that is that we would just continue to give more of ourselves to be the people that you created us to be. So God, I'm asking that you would help us. God, we wanna know. I mean, it's human nature to wanna know when we're being, you know, successful. It's human nature in any area of our life for us to want to know, right? You know, when has a run crossed the plate? When have we taken a real step forward? Right? When are we really doing the things that we set out to do, right? We want to be effective. We want to win, so to say, when it comes to the things that we do, God. So when it comes to our spiritual lives, would you help us to get a better sense of how we measure how we're doing and how we're growing and how we're changing and how we're really maturing and how we're becoming more and more of the people that you really did intend for us to be, God. And so for each person here, God, I don't know what is happening in life. I don't know what's happening in career and in family and in neighborhoods and communities and in workplaces and all that stuff, God. But I just pray that for each person here, you might help them. You might help each of us to identify places in our lives where this kind of fruit and it needs to be developing just a little bit more, God. Would you alert us to the places in our life where our focus needs to shift to the love and to the joy and to the peace and to the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the gentleness and the self-control, God? Would you help us to see, man, God, are there some areas in my life where I need to bring my focus back to these things developing in me? And God, I pray as we seek to become people who have this kind of fruit evident in our life, I pray that it would have ripple effects, God, throughout our communities. God, I pray that it would have, ripple effects, you know, throughout our families, throughout our community, God, throughout our schools, throughout this region, God, that people would see real growth and real change in us, and that it might inspire more people to do the same. That it might inspire more people to wonder where it is the inspiration for that kind of change really begins, and that's you and what you've done for us and what it is and who it is that you have called us to be, God. So help us to be the kind of people that you created us to be, who are ever changing and growing and maturing and following after you. We pray for your help in doing these things. We pray this in the powerful name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here with us today on this Memorial Day weekend. We hope you enjoy the rest of this weekend, and we really, really, really hope to see you right back here on Sunday. We are beginning a brand new message series called Dangerous Prayers, and we're also super excited about Scoop of Summer that will happen directly following. So don't miss any of it. We'll see you back here or online, 10:30 a.m. God bless you.